All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2015, and this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Oh, yes, happy Monday. It's been already a long, 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 never-ending week for me. And we're back in the saddle again. I don't know, I really got to get myself wound up and moving for a Monday, because weekends I just try to like chill out a little bit and do some research, and by the time Monday comes around, it doesn't ever feel like I ever had a day off. It is 79 degrees and really muggy outside today in upstate New York. I think it's going to be a roaster, so if anybody's got a sprinkler to run through, I'd say get it out today. I don't know, dog days of summer. These are some of our roastiest days here, but I'm not going to complain because before you know it, I'll be saying it's minus 23 degrees here because we know that that happens. All right, so where do we leave off? We did a pretty crazy week of radio last week. I think we should take a look just for posterity's sakes. If I can get there. By the way, I definitely have been having technical issues this morning, but I've been beating through them without mercy. So hopefully everything goes well today. All right, let's take a look. We had, propaganda, scary pictures, Soylent 2.0 and Bill Gates, plague, starvation, DNA switch flipping and immortality, DARPA synthetic biology and terraforming Mars, Gates, RNA vaccines, CRISPR gene drives, Google and chip implants, evolutionary robotics, focused destruction and biodesign. And then we ended up with the cherry on top yesterday. Future Brain, U.S.-Israel Mad Science Foundation, and bioeconomy. Wow. A lot of stuff. And guess what? I found more. It just gets scarier and scarier every day. I don't know. I think I'm going to stop digging one of these days and just go find myself a quiet little island and a box of umbrellas to put in my drinks, because this really wipes me out after a while. But I guess we'll keep trudging. So we took a look at a whole bunch of things on Friday. The Future Brain, I don't remember. What was that? Transhumanism, DARPA, lost memory function, them getting in your head. Yeah, robots controlling, being able to control robots and things with your thoughts. Mass extinctions, we looked at that. And we ended it up with the Department of Energy Synthetic Biology Report to Congress, the National Bioeconomy Blueprint, and the Science to Industry Successes and Challenges of the U.S.-Israeli Binational Model, specifically their collaboration in neuroscience and neurotechnology. That was the one document we dug into. We kind of painted how there seems to be, at least in the United States, and now we found out listening to Mr. Ron Stevens of Game On, that it's more than just a United States consortium to literally bring in this 21st century mad science gone mad technology across the board. This is going to be the crux of the new economy of the 21st century, synthetic biology, nanotechnology. What was the other one? Oh, they listed three of them. Well, anyway, I ran across something this morning. It's called H.R. 591. So this is a bill currently, right now, up in front of the House, titled Engineering Biology Research and Development Act of 2015. Oh, who would have thought it? Latest action was taken in February, so phew, it's still sitting there. But guess what, guys? It's coming. H.R. 591, to provide a coordinated federal research program to ensure continued United States leadership in engineering biology. Does biology really need to be engineered? Says this bill will provide for a coordinated federal research program to ensure a continued U.S. leadership in engineering biology, and it may be cited as the Engineering Biology Research and Development Act of 2015. Says in general, the president shall implement a national engineering biology research and development program to advance societal well-being, national security, of course, always in the name of national security, and economic productivity and competitiveness through, number one, advancing areas of research at the intersection of biological, physical, in information sciences and engineering. Two, supporting social science research. Yes, social science, like understanding the brain and how they're going to thwart people like me and maybe even you who have real issues eating plastic pretend food and being jabbed with mad science lunatic vaccinations loaded with some sort of Frankenscience, okay? Loaded with nanobots. I don't want that in my body. Socially engineer the population so people who want to remain human 1.0 or Luddites, as Kaczynski called them, become the outcasts. How interesting is that? The number two of this edict is supporting social science research. Yes. Supporting social science research that advances the field of engineering biology and contributes to the adoption of new products. So social science contributing to the adoption of new products. That definitely sounds like some sort of Bernesian engineering to make us want it so bad and give up our stubbornness. And we've talked about this. The majority of the public already have open arms. They can't do without their devices. And with the promise of being able to live forever, be healthy, 80's going to be the new 20. And you can have your internet connected all times when we give you this little chip implant. You're going to be 1,000 times smarter, too, so don't worry about it. Since we've dumbed everyone down to the attention span of a goldfish already. So, okay, back to number two. Supporting social science research that advances the field of engineering biology and contributes to the adoption of new products, processes, and technologies. Number three, expanding the number of researchers, educators, and students with engineering biology training. So there you go. Lots of grants out there. I'll tell you what, if I ever went back to school, I very well may consider, I don't know, could you imagine the nightmare of going back to school? My God, I did it for 5 years in college, and it was horrible. Before the days of the computers, it was all done on a typewriter. But I'll tell you what, I would love to be able to understand how some of this insane technology is working and really get a good education in genomics and this CRISPR-Cas9 technology. So at least if nothing else, we could understand our own destruction. Number four, accelerating the translation and commercialization of engineering biology research and the development by the private sector. And number five, improving the interagency planning and coordination of federal government activities related to engineering biology. The activities of the program should include, one, sustained support for engineering biology and research development through, grants to individual investigators and interdisciplinary teams of investigators. Now, we've already discovered that, yes, there's money flowing from the sky in that Israeli-U.S. binational research. And all you have to do is pretty much have a pulse and say, hey, we're two companies, one in each country, and we want to do some mad science research, and they're going to give you cash. And guess what? We even found out you don't even have to repay it if you fail. I could think of all kinds of scams, ways to get money, and then, oops, pretend you fail while your intellectual property walks out the door and someone else starts a company somewhere else. Yeah, pretty interesting. But also, when we look at DARPA and a lot of this venture capitalist angel funding that's going on at all these universities, and really it's not venture capitalism because there's no corporations involved yet, but we've discovered time and time and time and time again that DARPA is always involved. They're sprinkling money at all these universities. They're funding the research for our children to be working against Human 1.0, right? Our children are the ones who are engineering the destruction of the future in the name of science and the new bioeconomy. Because guess what? There's no jobs in the old way of doing things. Either work in the government for surveillance or mad science gone mad. So they're funding our children. They're funding their research. They're offering them great jobs at all these different brand new high-tech companies that have gone public. Oh, right as what? Yes, they are leading up to the phase two human trials for their new fangled vaccine, let's say. Except that there is no emergency, but wait. Now there's a national emergency, an outbreak, like what? Oh, did you guys see they closed Yosemite National Park over plague this week? Yes, they're dropping flea bombs into critter holes. So there have been a couple cases of plague up there. But let's say, like, oh, look, national emergency. We have plague or Ebola or whatever. Well, guess what? This brand new company just listed on the stock market happens to have a phase two ready to go to human trial vaccine for that. Well, let's fast track it through the FDA since it's all been legalized now. And get that into the hands of the CDC. And speaking of the CDC, I have news on that if I get there, but I have a bunch of things lined up I want to get to. All right, let's see what else. Then I better shut up and start talking. All right, where did I leave off? Yeah, so we're expanding the number of researchers, educators, and students with engineering biology training, accelerating the translation and commercialization of engineering biology research and development by the private sector, improving interagency planning and coordination of federal activities related to engineering biology. They'll give grants to investigators, projects funded under a joint solicitation by a collaboration of no fewer than two agencies participating in the program. Well, that sounds very, 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 very similar to that U.S.-Israeli program. Interdisciplinary research centers that are organized to investigate basic research questions and care, technology development, and demonstration activities. Blah, 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 blah. It's too early to be reading all this crap, and who cares? Basically, look out, because here it comes. Oh, and then, hey, let's look at this. Oh, ethical, legal, environmental, and societal issues. Program activities shall take into account ethical, legal, environmental, and other appropriate issues, including the need for safeguards and monitoring systems. Of course, we need more monitoring systems to protect society against the unintended release of engineered materials. You know, we dug into all this, and the reason we came upon this was because of a story that came out last week about DARPA being the agency that was going to genetically engineer life to terraform Mars. That's where this all came out of. I mean, even me, somebody who obsesses over this mad science, wasn't aware of all of these programs, bills, and agencies within the federal government. This is horrifying to me. So while we're talking about ethical, legal, environmental, and societal issues of orchestrating the death of life on Earth as we know it, are we going to trust these guys? Because I know I don't. And they're planning on, and this is per the DARPA lady's own words, testing this stuff on Earth first before they attempt to terraform Mars, because we only got one chance at that, she said. Yeah, but you got billions of people living on this planet. I mean, come on. I think they need to be in a space bubble somewhere. I don't care. Do yourselves in, but I don't want any part of this whatsoever. And that's official. I'm putting that on my official record. I want no part. I am removing myself from the experiment and sitting on the sidelines. Anyway, so our ethical, legal, environmental, and societal issues. We need safeguards and monitoring systems to protect society. Yes, because it's for your own best interest against the unintended release of engineered materials produced by, one, supporting research, including the social sciences and other activities addressing ethical, legal, environmental, and appropriate societal issues related to engineering biology, including integrating research on these topics with the research and development in engineering biology and ensuring that the results of such research are widely disseminated, including through interdisciplinary engineering biology research centers. Wow, that was a mouthful that didn't say much of anything. Number two. So basically it says that we're going to just make sure that you share information. How's that going to keep me safe? If anything, that's going to make us less safe. It's kind of like engineering the 1918 pandemic flu to be even more virulent than it was, or the bird flu, and then publish it in scientific journals all in the name of sharing information. And not publishing it once, but what? Oh, publishing two versions of a more virulent bird flu that'll kill 90 to 95% of anyone it infects. Hey, all in the name of science, man. Don't you censor me, bro. That's what they said, if you remember that. There was a big fight over that, whether or not they should be allowed to publish, like, a complete earth-decimating, people-killing, killer virus genome sequence in a public medical journal. And they let them do it, too. And I'm not for censorship in any way, sense, shape, or form, but I'm telling you what, something of that level, that's something you should have some sort of secret clearance for or whatever. I mean, this isn't, they act like this shit's Tinker Toys, that this is all a game, that letting, I mean, now that you can genome sequence in your freaking closet, this stuff shouldn't be getting out there. I'm going to have a rude awakening. I mean, people who thought science fiction movies or things like Godzilla or whatever were like, or Mothra, or, I don't know, think of any other mutant creatures. Anybody who ever thought that stuff like that was, like, in the realm of never going to happen and always taught their kids that there really was no boogeyman? Well, guess what? We're about, or the X-Men? Yeah, we're about to see that happen. Interagency committee. And this is the last part I'm going to read of this, because this is a pretty boring document to start out on a Monday with. Interagency committee, and this is going to be the dotted line back to that synthetic biology report to Congress of 2013 we read on Friday. The president shall designate an interagency committee on engineering biology, which shall include representatives from the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the Environmental Protection Agency, and any other agency that the department considers appropriate. The director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy shall select a chairperson from among the members of the interagency committee. Now, if you remember all of those names, They were all departments that are already listed as having synthetic biology programs either on the way or slated to begin. Every single one of those groups. Says the director of the Office of Science and Technology shall select a chairperson from among the members, and the interagency committee shall oversee the planning, management, and coordination of the program. So there you go. Anybody wants to look this up, this is on congress.gov under the 114th Congress, which is the one that is in session right now, the 2015 to 2016 session. House Bill H.R. 591, titled Engineering Biology Research and Development Act of 2015. This is going to go into the notes of the show once it's over. So if you didn't catch that, I'll put that in there. But it's very interesting because when we tie all this into vaccinations and genetically modified foods and mad science gone mad and immortality projects everywhere and Google and Calico and DARPA, you know, Living Foundries program. It's just beyond frightening to me. And this is now we have found a way, and it's amazing. We found a way with the destructing of life on Earth. We found a way to monetize it because guess what? It's now called the emerging U.S. bioeconomy. Yes, people just buy things. Enjoy your new 3D extra nutritious food with peanuts in it that don't have allergens and extra vitamin C just for you because we want to make sure you're healthy. Yes, make sure you eat them all up. And we can even 3D print them in the shapes of Mickey Mouse. All right, this is off of WhiteHouse.gov. A bioeconomy blueprint out of April 2012, Mr. Ron Stevens had covered some of these exact same documents that are appearing in other countries. He found Canada's version of their bioeconomy, and of course Canada thinks they're going to be number one. So it turns into this big global competition now to see who can destroy the world faster. Life science research. So this is the emerging U.S. bioeconomy. Life science research and the development of increasingly powerful tools for obtaining and using biological data and bio-based materials have brought the nation to the threshold. Yes! And I see big pointy teeth and flames burning everywhere when I look through that threshold of only previously imagined opportunities for discoveries with transformative or destructive potential. Momentum is building. Scientists and engineers are increasingly looking to augmented reality. Remember that. We had talked about that before. Augment. They also use that exact same term when they're talking about implanting the little chip in your hippocampus that allows you to be connected to the internet 24/7. Scientists and engineers are increasingly looking to augment biological research with approaches from scientific disciplines for solutions to our most demanding scientific and societal changes and seeing exciting options that will profoundly affect our future. You know, I was just thinking about these societal changes and their financing of societal research to make everybody open their arms and accept human 2.0. And the stuff we read on Friday about the U.S.-Israeli Mad Science Science Foundation research that they're doing was all in neuroscience. So yes, I'm sure that they're learning all kinds of wonderful ways to manipulate the brain. All right, let's get back to this. From the other scientific disciplines and solutions for our most demanding scientific and societal changes and seeing exciting options that will profoundly affect our future. Increasing this momentum, capitalizing on a wide array of multidisciplinary knowledge and tools and recognizing important trends becomes a vibrant bioeconomy with vast societal benefits. Yes, societal benefits are very subjective in the hands of governments and billionaires. And when we discover that people like good old Bill Gates, we've looked at that a few times last week. Go to a couple of last week's shows right under the notes. I link to all those stories of Bill Gates' new investments in CureVac, the RNA vaccine company. He also invested large dollars in new biofuels. And thirdly, he invested with 13 other investors into a big gene editing company. The writing is on the wall, and it's all for your best interest, society. It says, imagine a world in which there are, quote, ready-to-burn liquid fuels produced directly from CO2, biodegradable plastics, not made from oil, but renewable biomass, tailored food products to meet specialized dietary needs. Yes, all of those special genetically engineered foods like the non-browning apple or the BT corn can only get better from here. How about imagining a drug that can cure any viral infection? Yes, that's called nanobots, or virus-like particles in your blood, and novel biosensors for real-time monitoring of the environment. While achieving these visionary examples might seem daunting, current progress shows, ding, 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 listen to this, that they may soon become a reality. And remember, this document was from 2012, and they put it into high gear and went 160. Okay? So in 2012, they already were saying, hey, we're just about there. Don't worry about it. Bioeconomy trends. Number one is health. Broad spectrum antivirals. Researchers at MIT's Lincoln Laboratory reported that in 2011, they created a broad-spectrum antiviral technology that selectively kills any virus-infected cell but does not harm uninfected cells. Well, that's great. I'd like to read about that when I actually see there's a link. We won't do it today, but maybe we'll dig into that because I'd be interested if that was 2011 at MIT, the Pit of Vipers. Where is that already? I bet it's been incorporated either into one of these new synthetic vaccines, or they've spun it off to be a brand new little company that's got things sitting waiting to go into phase 2 and 3 trials with the next quote-unquote emergency pandemic. I can almost guarantee that. All right. Treatment of disease is changing dramatically, and over the last 60 years, the treatment of disease has relied primarily on drugs derived from traditional chemical synthesis and the application of a variety of devices and procedures largely designed to treat disease symptoms rather than the underlying cause. And you know what? I won't argue with that. That is absolutely true. That's where natural medicine comes in, where you're trying to correct either inflammation or maybe a nutritional deficit that's causing your problems versus just trying to hide the symptoms with old school drugs. Anyway, back to the story. Many of our most promising therapies today are biologically derived molecules like proteins, antibodies, vaccines, and cells specifically directed at the cause agent of the disease. Our approaches to treatment are becoming more specialized, and this is where we get into this precision medicine, right? Obama talked about that. I really, really think that that was kind of what this whole push about Obamacare was, because once your records are all in the database, remember I told you it's all about the algorithm, and now we know it's even bigger than that. because it's about this global genomics database where this DARPA lady said in the future she wants to be able to pick the best genetic traits from any organism out there and mix and match on demand at the push of a button and create on demand life forms. Yes, she said that. And they're already far down that path, not only in synthetic biology, but in databasing everybody's DNA. It's all part of your dossier. And it's all going to be available for $29.95 a month to any synthetic biology company that wants access to large database records of genomic information, whether it be humans or animals or insects. I think the woman said we had over 30 billion species, including all the viral and bacterial life on planet Earth, and they want to get them all databased. We found two, I don't know if we read the story, if this was just me blowing through, but there is some new high-speed technology now that has been put on the forefront for being able to index genomes very quickly and very accurately. Says our approaches to treatment are becoming more specialized. The Human Genome Project. Oh, of course it would be mentioned here in the National Bioeconomy Blueprint. The Human Genome Project has helped enable an emerging new era of, personalized medicine. Yes, little Johnny, you will live forever. And all you will have to do is allow us to inject some nanobots in your bloodstream. Or here, why don't you just breathe them in? Here, it smells like bubblegum. Take a whiff, Johnny. Oh, my God. Where did I just disappear to? Many of our most promising therapies today are biologically derived molecules, proteins, antibodies, vaccines, and cells specifically directed at the cause agents of disease. Examples of biology-based therapies include protein therapies for treatment of, anemia, heart attack, stroke, antibody therapies to inhibit growth of cancers, and a new cell-based vaccine for prostate cancer. A fundamental change from treating the symptoms to treating the causes of the disease. Notice how they don't mention, like, little self-replicating nanobots in here anywhere. The ability to sequence and compare genomes of patients cheaply and quickly has the potential to transform medicine, and instead of today's typical treatments, treatments are beginning to be geared to each individual's specific conditions. The Personalized Medicine Coalition reports that advances in recent technologies have increased the momentum of personalized medicine, which is customized healthcare based on specific genetic or other information on an individual patient. And remember, your past bad life choices, the stress that you lived, the bad eating habits you exhibited, the drugs and the alcohol that you did in college, all affect your future genetic lineage. And so as they roll out precision medicine here to everybody in the planet, yes, to be used as guinea pigs, it's almost like the cookbook from Twilight Zone. I don't know. Instead of being food, though, we're just the guinea pigs. We're the lab rats. But as they roll out personalized and precision medicine as the dangling carrot to the masses to promise them immortality. And remember, once you have an ego and you've become, or you feel like you're going to become a god, once you've reached for that poison apple, they got you. I mean, really, when I go through like all the philosophy and the creation and destruction myths and all the research that I did in college, and I start looking at all these stories and I look at where we're standing right now on the edge of a cliff at a 10,000 foot drop below us, and that apple is just dangling just over the edge and I can just about get it. Like that scene at the end of the one Indiana Jones movie where the big chasm opens up in the ground and they were just, they had the cup, what was it called? You know, the Holy Grail in his hand, and then the chasm opens up and it's supposed to be the Fountain of Youth. Remember? If you drank out of that cup, you could live forever. And the ground opens up and it ends up on the ledge. And the German chick that was hanging out with them reaches for it, Helga, whatever her name was. And she's, I can get it. And she reaches just a little too far and falls into the pits of hell. That's what I'm talking about. We are not meant to live forever. It is against the natural order of things. And I have friends who fight me to the death, telling me and throwing it in my face, if my kid was dying, wouldn't I want to, for them to get some of this technology and live forever? And in the days before heart transplants, it was thought to be voodoo. Are those people less human because they've had a heart transplant? I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say I'm not against technological advances being used for the good of humanity. But this has gone beyond that. This has gone, we're not fixing problems. We're re-engineering life to make it do whatever we want, like a marionette, to control it at an atomic level. That, my friends, is where the destruction of all of life on planet Earth can easily come about. And I'm going to get lost here because if I keep going on this, we're not going to get to any more of these stories. Maybe, just maybe. So that was the healthcare component with the genome project. There's more. It goes on to energy, agriculture, environment, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe we'll hit on each one of those each day this week. But I want to continue on. So let's do a wrap up of all the departments that are involved in this at a federal level. And this does not include the universities across the nation. And then we found out across the seas with Israel that are also all involved. In coercion. Is that a word? In cahoots. With American researchers. So right now, we have the USDA, the Office of Chief Scientist, the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services, the Department of Commerce, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the Department of Defense, the DARPA, of course, the Office of Naval Research, the Department of Energy, the Office of Science, the Offices of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institute of Health, NASA, NASA Ames Research Center, the National Science Foundation, and their Directorate for Engineering and Directorate for Biological Science. This is the group right now that is involved in the federal push for research in synthetic biology, and ones that all have projects either ready to go or already ongoing, as per the Synthetic Biology Report to Congress of July 2013. Well, if it couldn't get any worse, I ran across some really crazy stories this weekend that I want to get some of these done. So, yes, healthcare, it means that we're going to be able to cure so many horrible things. How about losing an arm? And not making it a mind-controlled prosthetic, but how about a real biological arm that was grown out of your own stem cells? Scientists want to regrow your arm on a monkey. This is just horrifying. There are no good options to replace lost limbs, says Ott, director of an organ repair and regeneration lab at Massachusetts General Hospital. That's nice that right near MIT, Massachusetts General has an organ repair and regeneration lab. Indeed, the options for patients suffering from limb loss are bleak. Patients can opt for costly prosthetic replacements at the expense of some movement and control, or they could go for a transplant, but only if a specific matching donor is available, and even then they will have to take immunosuppressive drugs for the rest of their lives so that their immune systems do not attack the new limb. And with approximately 185,000 amputations occurring every year and over 2 million people currently suffering from limb loss, Ott wanted to make a change. And yes, don't forget, Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever is back on the rise, and that poor woman in Oklahoma that got bitten by the tick last week had to have all four of her limbs amputated because of the infection. We have another brand new quadriplegic to add to that number. It's just amazing how all these diseases are coming back out of the blue and killing people, maiming them, disfiguring them. But don't worry about it, because we have a solution for you. His idea is an ambitious one, planning to use cells from the amputee's body to grow a customized limb tailored just for them. Can you say precision medicine, everybody? Yeah, they didn't tell me it was going to be growing back my arms and legs. This way, the limb would be unlikely to be targeted by the immune system as a foreign object. And though this idea may seem radical, Maximina, that really is the name, a researcher at the University College at London has already been conducting research on an animal with similar capabilities, and that is, yes, the salamander. And I did know about the salamander. They, lizards, too, can regrow their tails. Salamander's limbs can regrow readily when needed, even straight out of amputation. Ott has already found success with this technique, using it to regenerate organs, including lungs and even a beating heart. He then proceeded to use it to regrow a rat arm, and we covered that 3-4 months ago in a petri dish, marking that as the very first biolimb, I guess that's what they're calling them now, biolimbs, ever to be created. Now, he is testing this on monkeys, although only arms can be grown so far. The process requires an animal limb, which is horrifying, so this poor monkey is what going to lose his arm, which is stripped of all possible cells using saline and detergent, so only a scaffold remains. We were talking about this in chat either Friday or over the weekend. Someone was asking about how they make 3D printed organs, and I was talking about how they make these scaffolds out of sugar. And they said, yeah, and I've also seen it where they clear all the cells out of it and use it as a scaffold, and I guess this is one of those technologies. So they use saline and detergents to strip all the cells out of this poor monkey's arm so it leaves a 3D template that is used to structure tissue. The limb is then rebuilt using cells from the amputee to inhabit the scaffold, transforming it into a proper limb. And the cells that they are using are human skin cells, like I had mentioned before, where they now are able to use human skin cells to make any type of stem cell. Upon completion, it then can be transplanted into an amputee's body. If that does not sound particularly easy to do, it's because it's not. The transformed limb requires blood, bones, muscle, cartilage, and more, each of which has to be rebuilt using its own specialized supporting structure or matrix. Ott uses progenitor cells to accomplish this, which are similar to stem cells in that they can differentiate into many types of cells, except that they are more specialized, so I guess they're not just stem cells, they're progenitor cells, making it easier for them to transform into the desired cell type. Says at the end of the regeneration cycle, even if each layer is built correctly, there is still no guarantee that the limb's nerve cells will remain responsive once connected to the amputee, but they are confident they are off to a great start. Once he achieves consistent success with smaller organisms like the poor little rats and monkeys, he can essentially replicate that exact same process on humans. And hey, we already have an Italian neurosurgeon saying that he can transplant a head no problem, and they're getting ready to do that operation here in the next year or so with that Russian, I would have to say he's probably a quadriplegic. I know I saw pictures of him. He looked pretty, his body was all twisted up in a wheelchair, and he's volunteered himself to be the first head transplant. But here, if I can connect here, and hold on 1 second. I did have a video on this story. Let's see if we can join the call. Here we go.
Damon here with IGN News. Scientists at Massachusetts General Hospital are developing new methods to grow fully functional limbs from macaque monkeys, a technique that could one day be used on humans. The technique was previously used to grow lungs, a beating heart, and regenerate the leg of a rat. According to CNN, research lead and director of the Organ Repair and Regeneration Lab at MGH, Harold Ott, is now trialing the method on monkeys. First, a scaffold of a monkey's arm is made by flushing out all the donor cells inside with saline and detergents. The scaffold is rebuilt with progenitor cells obtained from humans that can be stimulated into becoming blood or muscle cells and more. The bioengineers first began with blood cells and vessels. They will then work up to muscle cells, followed by connective tissue, bone, cartilage, fat cells, and finally nerve cells. Ott hopes to apply the technique to create functional limbs for humans using the amputee's own cells. Transplanting an arm or leg from an amputee's cells will be less likely to be attacked by their immune system. Ott told CNN, "We need to show we can apply this process to limbs of human scale. If it works out, you could generate on demand."
Oh, more on-demand generation of biological materials. Yeah, hey, push the button on my 3D printer and print myself a new arm. This is insane. I mean, this just, it's not science fiction either. I mean, we see now there's a huge federal push. There's money, there's grants, there's cash falling from the sky to be the first creator of Frankenstein. Well, it gets even better. Out of Medical Express this weekend, and this is a medical publication of some kind. Genetically engineered pigs. Yes, the advance looks promising. Stories of people waiting for organ transplants that could save their lives are well known. The numbers, though, are not encouraging. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has some data. 122,407 people need a life-saving organ transplant. The agency said that the gap between supply and demand continues to widen, so don't go to Indonesia. You'll find yourself in a bathtub full of ice. The total number of donors from January through May of this year, 2015, was 5,975. On average, 22 people die each day while waiting for a transplant. Well, hopefully they're not at the VA, because then there would be a higher number, I'm sure. And here's another statistic. Every 10 minutes, someone is added to the national transplant waiting list. Now, this sounds to me, the way they're writing these stories that we're reading, sounds to me like some of the social engineering for why synthetic biology is good is already well on its way. Pull on those heartstrings. We have millions of people worldwide that really need this technology. It says the number of people on the national waiting list continues to grow while the rates of donation and transplant stagnate. And, you know, as all these people are having organ failures or horrible diseases that are causing their limbs not to work anymore or have to be amputated because they get bitten by some freak genetically modified tick somewhere with some disease. Just came out of the blue, resurgent plague, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, blood-eating or brain-eating amoebas. There was just another brain-eating amoeba story. You know, as all this stuff is coming out, and we know that our population numbers are what apparently is causing climate change. So the carbon quotient has to become zero. Why do they give a shit how many people die from this stuff? Right? I mean, this is just such a load of crap. Yes, we're going to save all of you who can't afford these medical procedures. because there's many of you. This is not for you or me. And for the few that can, you will be the guinea pigs. But meanwhile, don't worry about it, because there's another story. It's called Xenotransplantation Research. X-E-N-O. Transplantation. Advances suggest that in the future, people who need organ transplants could look forward to more encouraging numbers for those placed on waiting lists. And such activity is already being carried out by a regenerative medicine division of a biotech company. The division is Revivacor. What a witty name. Revivacor. R-E-V-I-V-I-C-O-R. And the company is United Therapeutics. Revivacor is after an alternative tissue source which could address the critical shortage of human-compatible donor tissues, cells, and organs. And their work is producing genetically engineered pigs to provide human-compatible cells. And yes, I had read something not too long ago, it was probably close to a year ago now, but when they were doing the genome sequencing, they had found that pig genomes were really super close to humans. That's why every time I see, like, the pink meat and ham, it makes me kind of queasy, to be honest. It says their work is producing genetically engineered pigs to provide human-compatible cells, and this would be relevant for organs and tissues for use in transplant surgery or xenografts. Antonio Rigalato, a senior editor for biomedicine in the MIT Technology Review, has a detailed look at the research and said the team has done nothing less than, quote, shattering records in xenotransplantation or between species organ transplants. Researchers say they have kept a pig heart alive in a baboon. This is just awful. For 945 days. They have also reported the longest ever kidney swap between those species, lasting 136 days. What happened to fucking ethics, people? This is just unbelievable. So we're putting pig hearts into baboons for 3.5 years. Kidneys. For half a year, 136 days, their approach, the pigs are quote-unquote humanized with as many as 5 human genes. So before they took out the pig heart and put it into the baboon and then tried to grow an arm out of the baboon's head, which was the last story, they put 5 human genes into the pig to make it some human-pig hybrid. And they've designed the strategy through this to stop organ rejection. Yes, don't worry about it. It'll allow you to live forever, Johnny. Don't worry about how unethically, completely insane off the rails this is. We're monsters, people. A Reuters report on xenotransplantation last year talked about failures in efforts to use animal organs in people in need of transplants because of differences in the genome causing organ rejection and blood clots. And oh yeah, we have a story about blood clots too we're going to end the show with. Reginaldo described the problem as animal organs setting off, quote, a ferocious immune response, even which powerful drugs to block the immune attack cannot entirely stop. And to beat this rejection problem, researchers are now trying to genetically modify the animals. One major step came in 2003 when David Ayers, co-founder of Revivacor, and I had read also that in the future they're saying that they literally could use some of these crazy technologies to bring people back from the dead, by the way. Revivacor created pigs with organs lacking a sugar molecule, normally lining their blood vessels.
That molecule was a major culprit behind hyperacute rejection. And in addition, the team made pigs with more human genes. The genetic changes now make the organs more compatible with the human body. All right, and before we run out of time here, hold on, I gotta find this nanobot. Oh, shit. Here it is. All right, we only got a couple minutes left, so let's get into this one. So, yes, blood clotting seems to be a problem as well. But don't worry about it. Seek, locate, destroy. Nanotech now cleans up blood clots, yes, out of Melbourne, Australia. Scientists have used nanoparticles to eliminate blood clots in the form of a field kit to be carried by medics on reaching the scene of a suspected heart attack or stroke. A concern following a heart attack or stroke is the presence of blood clots, and clots can lead to constrictions in arteries and exacerbate the stroke or heart issue, or they can lead to an occurrence. So I guess we don't have to use things like Plavix anymore. Don't worry, nanobots to the rescue. Currently, dealing with the risk of clots requires a special surgical unit. Yes, they insert it up through your groin and use a little corkscrew to pull them out, but hey, we don't need that anymore. The problems here are at the time it takes to transport someone to the hospital and the fact that some people cannot be operated on due to the risk of internal bleeding. So don't worry about it. Nanobots to the rescue. University of Melbourne has developed a nanotechnological solution. This is a device designed to be used by paramedics in the location where someone has suffered a heart attack. And yes, we have an emergency. It's always under the emergency and no specialist is needed to deliver the treatment. All right, guys. Well, guess what? We got about 15 seconds left. We will continue with this horror on Tuesday. Make sure you stick around. It is Monday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is up next. And then at 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Our Interesting Times. The replay from this week was an awesome one with Tim Kelly. Reality Bites with Neil Foster at 7. Unlock the Door with Michael Cross at 8. A brand new Truth on the Tracks with Mr. Brandon Turberville at 9. Cutting Through the Matrix with Mr. Alan Watt at 10. And Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DB at 11. So Monday is always a great radio night. Make sure everyone hangs out and stay away from the nanobots in your blood. And I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.